It's still Easter. I want to say some words, and one of my sources was a commentator, William Barclay. I love William Barclay. But to begin with, let me tell you, while this is from the Gospel, while the disciples were cowering, fearing, however you pronounce that word, when they were hiding under the desks in the upper room, fearing that the Jewish SWAT team was going to swoop in on them and carry them off, all of a sudden Jesus appeared. Now Jesus appeared. Are you with me on this? The disciples are locked, double bolts, triple bolts, bars across the windows, locked in the room. Now Jesus didn't come up and go, "Can I come in? Who's out there? It's me, Jesus. Prove it." He just appeared, folks. They were sitting around shaking, and all of a sudden, Jesus is standing there. He appeared to them, and after he showed them his hand and his side, he told them, "Even as my Father sent me, so I send you." Now, today we know who you is, right? You is us. The late English bishop and theologian Brooke Westcott called this commission, Jesus is telling them that he's sending them, this commission, Westcott called it the charter of the church, meaning three things. First, Jesus needs the church. Imagine that. Jesus needs the church. Jesus came with a message for all people, and as he's about to return to his Father, he turns to his disciples and to us in turn and said that we are called to deliver the message. Second, the church needs Jesus. Well, we go there, right? We all know that. The church needs Jesus. A person who is being sent out needs someone to send him or her and needs someone to provide the message. We need someone to send us, and we need the message to deliver. You see, without Jesus, the church has no power. And then finally, the sending of the church by Jesus is parallel to the sending out of Jesus by God Himself. But, there's always a but, we must never promote our own self-made policies. But we must be out to follow the will of Jesus. It's His message that He wants delivered to the world, not our message. Anyway, on this first appearance of Jesus to the disciples, one disciple was missing. Thomas was not there in the upper room when Jesus first appeared to the disciples after His resurrection. Thomas truly loved Jesus. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was called to go to Bethany for Lazarus, Thomas and the others knew that Jesus would be in danger. And Thomas is the one who said, "Let us go with him and die with him if need be." Thomas was trying to deal with Christ's death, as were the others, but he made just one big mistake. He withdrew from what we would now call the Christian fellowship. He withdrew from those around him, from his friends, from the other disciples. He sought lowliness rather than togetherness. And friends, I can tell you from speaking to some of you who have lost someone, that so often I hear, "Well, I don't want to come to church right now. I need to be by myself. I need to work this out myself. And I don't need to be in a church with a lot of people coming up and saying how sorry they feel for me." I understand that. I just lost my brother a couple weeks ago. But you can't walk away from the people who love you and need to be there with you. So anyway, Thomas is trying his best to deal with this, but he withdraws from those that would be of the best help for him. You see, he sought loneliness again rather than togetherness, and soon, very soon, his world would begin to fall apart, because Thomas, and he sees his master arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then he flees for his life. And on Good Friday, he watches at a distance as they nail his friend to the cross. And as Jesus' life drains away, so does Thomas's hope. On that Saturday, Thomas is in shock. On Sunday, he's so disillusioned that he doesn't gather with his fellow disciples for their evening meal. Thomas is dazed. He's hurt. He's very bitter. And lashing out, Monday morning, the disciples go looking for Thomas and tell him what has happened in his absence. And because he was not there with his fellow disciples, he missed the first coming of Jesus. Now we miss a great deal when we separate ourselves from our Christian fellowship and try to be alone. When sorrow comes and sadness envelops us, we often tend to shut ourselves up and refuse to meet people. And that's the very time. That's the very time when, in spite of sorrow, we should seek the fellowship of Christ's people. For it's there that we are the likeliest to meet him face to face. Thomas, now think about it. Here's the dialogue. Thomas, we were in the upper room where we'd been meeting. We locked the doors for protection. Yet all of a sudden, Jesus appears. Peace, shalom, he says. Then he shows us his hands. And there are jagged holes where the nails had been. He pulls back his tunic and shows us where the spear had been thrusted into his chest. But he isn't weak or sick or even dying. He's alive. He's raised from the dead. I don't believe it, Thomas barked back. I don't believe a word of it. You're seeing what you want to see. Jesus is dead. I saw him die, and part of me died with him. But he's dead, and the sooner you accept that fact, the better off you'll be. Give it up. Well, Peter pleads with Thomas. Thomas, I saw him myself. I tell you, and he was as real as you are. Thomas is cold and on edge, and his voice cuts like ice. Unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. Let me give you a little insight into Thomas. Thomas had two very great virtues. First, he absolutely refused to say he understood if he didn't understand, or that he believed if he really didn't believe. He was true to himself. His other virtue was when he was sure, he totally committed everything he had, gave it his all. So that's a little bit on Thomas. But let's get back to the story. So now, Thomas's anger cools, and by the next Sunday evening, he's eating with his fellow disciples in the same locked room. Suddenly, Jesus, can I come in? No. Jesus just appeared behind locked doors, deadbolt locks, bars, and caged windows. He just appeared. And he knew in his heart, he knew what was in Thomas's heart and in his mind, and he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hand. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord, my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Thomas's action enforces the belief that Christian faith must be able to rest upon something other than personal encounter with the risen Jesus. So while Jesus acknowledges Thomas's confession, he regards as blessed those who had not seen and yet have come to believe. And in this respect, it's the beloved disciple. You remember, in this, when Mary Magdalene came back to the disciples and said, Jesus, the tomb was empty. And Peter and the beloved disciple, now we believe the beloved disciple was John himself. But when Peter and the beloved disciple reached the tomb, Peter just, in his normal manner, just rushes right in. But the beloved disciple looks from outside into the tomb, and he sees the bed empty. And he says, I believe. The beloved disciple said, I believe. So, this faith in the risen Jesus does not depend upon seeing the risen Jesus with our own eyes, for faith involves being able to rely upon the testimony of others who experience these things. In other words, our faith is not a blind faith, for it does rest upon evidence. It rests upon evidence, yet that evidence is only accessible to us through the testimony of others. We know it as it's been handed down through generations and through the word of the Bible. And so Christian faith is more of a matter of hearing and believing rather than seeing and believing. Faith requires that we trust the testimony of others, the testimony of those who, like John, tell the story of Jesus in order that we may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing we may have life in his name. Now, today it's not hard to believe by seeing, thanks to the electronic media. You know, as you know, television carries us to the scene of the history in its making. But prior to the advances of modern communication, we had to rely on the written word and stories handed down from eyewitnesses to history. I told you this before, I'm speaking of history. When he was a high school student, said he hated history. I said, Kevin, how can you hate history? It's my favorite subject. He says, Dad, when you were in high school, the history book was only that thick. Is there anyone here this morning that doesn't believe that this country became an independent nation as a result of the revolution? Now, I may be presumptuous, but I don't believe that anyone here, I witnessed it. But we definitely believe it because we're living it. Because until the history books get burned, we can go to the history book and find out how this country was formed. But it wasn't based on personal encounter. It was based on what we've heard and what we've read. Now, there's a story told on Thomas saying that he went to India where he was commanded by the king, King Gandhavaras, to build him a palace. And Thomas said that he could do that. And the king gave Thomas the money to buy materials and hire workmen. Thomas gave the money to the poor. The king became suspicious and asked Thomas if he had built a palace. Thomas said, yes. The king then wanted to know when he could see the palace. Thomas said, thou canst not see it now, but when thou departest this life, then thou shalt see it. At first, the king was very angry, and Thomas was in danger of his life. But in the end, the king, too, was won for Christ. And so Thomas brought Christianity to India. Now, how true that story is, I don't know. But wouldn't it be beautiful if someday others might tell a similar story about us? Thomas would speak to doubters today and to those of us who have seen our hopes and dreams destroyed. Doubting Thomas would tell his story of how Jesus' life intercepted with his own life. He would tell us of his fears and his doubts. And then, with a radiant, joyful face, St. Thomas, apostle to India, would recount his joy at seeing and knowing the risen Jesus Christ himself, saying, my Lord and my God. He would say, my Lord and my God. Amen.